So I'm going to get my little timer started here. Can you hear me? Is this the mic working? Hello, hello? All right. First, I want to praise God and thank you all for giving me this opportunity. Thank you to Pastor Larry. It is a blessing to be able to serve. And I'm really excited about today's sermon. Whomever was praying for me, I do want you to know that there was a peace that fell over me during this time of preparation that I had not known previous. I've served God several times, and I've been blessed to be able to preach a few times. And every single time, I wanted to get sick the day that I was going to do it. It just, this nervousness fell over me. It's always that I have a reverence for that, but it's scary in some ways. But I praise God for you that prayed for me, because I did not experience that at the time. I was at a spirit of peace. And praise God that I get to speak on something that the Lord's been working with me on for many years. And I just, I do say, well, just starting off, is that oftentimes we'll hear a sermon and it'll bring us to mind somebody else in our life. Like, you know, I hope they're listening to this. Or, ooh, I wish they were here to hear this, right? And the thing is I want us to make sure that we're applying this to ourselves. You may recognize someone else in this scripture. You may recognize someone else in this sermon that maybe needs it, but we need this too. So if you find yourself getting to a place thinking, ooh, I hope they're listening, I hope you're listening too. And I pray that God uses me. If you would, please bow your head in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for your majesty, Father. Lord, we thank you for your love that just never ends, Father. Your mercy and grace, Lord, that just astounds us, Lord. Lord, your consistent character, Father. Lord, the Holy Spirit that you've imparted upon us, Father. Lord, your word that is just so encouraging, Lord, and so loving, Father. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have a family, Lord, that we don't have to do this by ourselves, Father. Lord, we thank you for the heart for you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the strength to get here this morning, Lord, when there were obstacles this morning, Lord, and maybe some of us didn't quite feel it, Lord, but we pressed our way. Thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless those also that didn't make it, Father, the one that we wish was sitting in the pew, Father God, Lord, the one that we know needs to hear this, Father. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to digest this word today, Lord, that we can take it home with us and share it appropriately with those ones that might have missed it. Father God, guide me today. Lord, let this be a sermon that glorifies you, that edifies your people. Lord, we ask you that you would silence all the background noise in our lives for just this moment, Lord. Lord, that we can put aside those stresses, those worries, Lord, those tasks, Father. And Lord, just rest in your word today. Father, that we'll leave here encouraged. And Father, we'll leave here with a heart to encourage others. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I wanted to start us off with a bit of scripture here. If you would, please turn in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. This is what is known as the Great Commission. I'll be reading this text from the King James Version. There are some omissions that you might find in the NIV. This is one of those areas of contention, but we're not going to touch that. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. This certainly is a transitional point for the disciples, apostles. Note here also, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This would include the commandment he's giving now. Jesus is giving us a call to either evangelism or some sort of personal ministry, right? Now, I can remember early on in my faith when I had first found Christ. I thought, hey, game over. I got Jesus now. That's it. High fives, Jesus. We're good to go, right? Like, I thought that that was the end all. Like, I thought, okay, I have Jesus now. I think of the term I use in here. Basically, I felt like I was in Jesus College with no homework or no tests. And that's just not how it is. In fact, when we've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're just beginning our walk. That Christ has things for us to do, right? Each one of us, we have a personal a mission or even a ministry possibly that Jesus will place into us, right? So certainly, this is what Jesus is speaking on here. He's saying he has, go teach the nations, baptizing them. We're supposed to be like Jesus, right? So Jesus evangelized. That's what he did. And so we need to be evangelizing also, right? Where we can. So I had several people mention to me how nice I look today, right? And I'm like, fantastic, but like some people really put it on. And I was like, do I look like a slob the rest of the time I'm in church? Is this what you're telling me?
Yes.
Right? Okay, fair enough. No, you're good. No, you might be right, right? I do know, I have to ask Jess what shirt I wore the week before. Because I'm like, did I wear this one? She's like, I don't remember. I'm like, well, we're just going to go with it. But one of the things that I thought was funny about it is I can't tie a tie, right? I can't. I've tried. When we bought our house, there is the older couple that owned it before. He had pasted in the door of the my closet a how to tie a tie diagram. And it's really cool because it's like from some GQ magazine from like 1942 or something like that. But all the knots were there. And I look at it and it just comes into this just mess of a knot, not what it's supposed to be, right? And so what I've done throughout life is I've found a man that can tie a tie very well. And I've asked them to tie my ties. If you look in my closet, all of my ties are pre-tied. And I'm probably ruining what are very good ties because I just don't want to fool with it, right? So my tie-tier here is Mr. Don Bartoletti. I won't call you out too much, Don. I don't like all that attention. Don't even look at him. But he's over there. He's over there, and he's an awesome dude, and he can tie a mean... I don't recall if he tied this one or if it was Dr. Foster, but this one's been tied for a good while, right? So I was thinking about it in relation to evangelism. And so the thing is, so Don tied my tie, and I told you that. What if everybody here, every man here said, you know what, I'm going to go, Don ties the ties, I'm going to go to Don. Now granted, if there was a tie-tying ministry, Don would be the Billy Graham of the tie-tying ministry. He would. He ties an awesome tie. I'm telling you, go put him to the test. I had Joe Douglas do it first, and I instantly took it out. I said, Joe, you cannot tie a tie, but Don Bartoletti can tie a tie, the Billy Graham of tie tying. But the thing is, you know what Don also does very well? He makes awesome pancakes.
Yeah.
My son, Jonathan, up front. Jonathan, wave everybody, maybe. Hello. So Jonathan loves Don's pancakes. Right? So, in some way, I can't even make pancakes at home now. Thanks, Don. But nonetheless, he loves Don's pancakes, right? So if Don's tying ties all day, he can't make the pancakes, right? You kind of get what I'm saying here? Is that maybe you don't feel like you can do evangelism, right? Maybe you don't feel like it's in you to talk to people about Jesus. But Don can't do it all. Pastor Larry can't do it all. We've all got to be able to do it, right? And it brings me to my next point, is if we don't evangelize, who will? And so I go to Scripture. If you want, I can give you time if you want to flip to this. I'm in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. I really like that tie-tying analogy, Dawn. Thank you so much for allowing me to use that. Romans 10, 13 and 14, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" The word of God is for everyone. Okay, end of quote. The word of God is for everyone. But if they don't hear it, they won't know it. Hearing the word of God is the beginning to the path of salvation. That's how important. First of all, Christ gave us that commandment, right? He wants us to do it. And if we don't do it, who will? I want you all to think about the people you encounter regularly in your lives. Do I hang out with them? Do I know them? Like the person you were hanging out with yesterday, did I hang out with them in the past like week? Have I seen them? See, a lot of times our personal mission, our personal ministry is very unique. And other people aren't going to get the same FaceTime with you or with me that they get with you, should I say. People are appointed to us. There's a reason that certain people in our lives, and if we don't be, if we're not that light, who's going to be? That's what he's saying here. He's saying, if we don't do it, who will? So I know it's difficult, right? So we're talking about evangelizing. You're thinking maybe like, you know, Charlie, I'm not ready really to preach. Well, this is not preaching. You say, I'm not really ready to teach. I get that. Maybe, well, it's not really that either. What evangelizing is when you talk about something you know, what do you know? I want you to think in your mind, what do you know? Do I know cooking? I kept looking at Haas and I kept thinking, lifting weights, just being awesome, you know? What do I know, right? When you talk about that thing, you talk about it from experience. Haas, you're not talking about lifting weights from a textbook or something like that, right? You're talking about it from your experience. This is the technique I learned. Don't use your back. You do this, you're going to hurt yourself, right? So God has already started working on us about certain scripture, right? And certainly, the entire ministry of Jesus Christ was encouraging. And so, as I make a transition here, what I'm getting to is, how do we get someone to listen to us? How do we get someone to... Because the thing is if we're going to evangelize, we need to be putting ourselves in a position where people will listen to us. What do we do to get someone to listen to us? My contention today is that we become encouraging. That through encouragement, through consistent and regular encouragement, people will want to talk to us. People will gravitate toward us. People will sense something different about us. Is it not a fair assessment to think that we live in a highly discouraged world? Don't we see discouragement everywhere we go? Don't do that. That's, you know, I mean, it's like, don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. I know I'm speaking in vague terms here. But certainly, could you not use encouragement? I mean, I know I need it. So that being said, I think that encouragement is an excellent place to start your personal evangelism. Because you need an audience before you can ever talk to anybody. So, if our words are peppered with such things, people will like the way that it sounds. People, and I'm not saying to falsely, to just puff somebody up. What I'm saying here is a few different things. So how do we get someone to listen? Through a spirit of encouragement. And so I'm going to read now, bless you, from Romans 15, verse 4. And I'm just going to go ahead and skip ahead to give you guys time. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we will have hope. The Scriptures are encouraging, and through that encouragement, hope is found. Another one here I've got is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Again, we are called to encourage one another. Now, encouragement is not something that is independent of evangelism. It's not just in evangelism. It's also in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's also in our relationships with our families. So while I have a specific intent or a focal point for encouragement today, you can apply it to all areas of your life. If you are encouraging in all areas of your life, fruit will be born from that. Encouragement bears fruit. So that being said, I've got one other verse here. It's 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Basically, we use the encouragement that God gives us and the comfort that that encouragement gives us to go provide comfort and encouragement to others. So you might be thinking, okay, Charlie, I know God has called me to some sort of a ministry or a mission. I know that if I don't do it, no one else will. How do I start encouraging? I want to say that it was a long time ago that I looked at all the difficulties in my life, the struggles, the hard times, and I just didn't want to look at them, right? Because it brought up pain. It brought up hurt. It brought up feelings that I just didn't want to deal with anymore. But I can tell you is, by nature, encouragement means that someone needs to be lifted up, right? They're down. And what I've found is that the difficult parts in my life, now these are hard to reveal. These are things we don't always want to share, right? Just like I didn't, right? But those testimonies, when we identify with someone, it is freeing. It is the most encouraging thing for someone to not feel alone, to not feel like they're the only person to go through this, right? So this is hard. This is where we have to pray about this. Lord, give me the courage to share this thing because it reveals a lot about me. But the thing is when we're talking about it in the perspective of evangelizing, do you remember, was everybody just brought up in the church? Did you just grow up in the church? Or were you a young adult or an adult or even a later adult? I just want to ask, because if you have that perspective, I can remember the days that I would see the people that are attending church and I would think, are they aliens? Are they from another planet? They're always together. Like, how does this dude have this suit on and this perfect tie? How are they smile all the time. It was foreign to me. I didn't get churched people. I didn't understand it. So one of our obstacles to evangelism is the fact that people, we try to make it hard for them to identify with us. Like, we have to put on sometimes a false persona, like we have it all together, when in fact we do not. We have one thing together. We might have a few others, but certainly we have one. It's okay to point out your weaknesses to someone and show them how God got you through it. It's okay to share a failure, because you know what? If it helps that other person to not feel alone, they're going to run right to you. It's going to help someone if you share something that is still even sadness in your heart, a loss or something like that, because you know what? They don't feel alone anymore. That's what the enemy wants to do with those that are not saved. He wants them to feel alone and like they have no hope. So that way they never reach out. That way they never do anything. If he's got them in this bubble of sadness or discouragement, he can do whatever he wants with them. So I want you to think about it under that context when you come to that place where you have to share that testimony. Because here's the thing. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to leave here, and in the next 2 weeks, God's going to put you in front of someone that's suffering through something that you've suffered through, that you've felt, that you've known, And you're going to be put to the challenge to share it. And if it's just what we're talking about here now, I want you to say that it's okay. That you know what? Here's another little thing, and I'm not going to try to get off topic too much. Is the blessing you need, hey, you need encouragement too, right? You need somebody to encourage you with where you're at right now? I guess I tell you this. You go out and you encourage through the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and you watch that encouragement come right back to you. All of a sudden, you realize that maybe I felt alone in what I was suffering through, and then I never really dealt with it. Maybe that's why I didn't want to talk about it, because it's convicting for me to get it, because I haven't really fully turned it over to God. But when you share that, all of a sudden, you're liberated. You've shared it. You've shared it with someone that needs to hear it. And you've seen that burden fall off them. Well, it can fall off you now, too. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality. Without courage..." Okay, that was the end of C.S. Lewis. "Without courage, men and women will fail to be loving, to sacrifice, to count the cost, to tackle the challenges, or to take on the responsibility that God calls them to." So, by you being encouraging to someone, you might be liberating them to do what God has put on their heart that they didn't have the courage to do. How many purposes of God can we fulfill in our lives by simply encouraging someone? Now, let me maybe you're like, Charlie, let's clear this up. What is the definition of an encouragement? The definition of an encouragement is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Persuasion, this is another one, persuasion to do or continue something. The act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. Hello, did Jesus write this definition? Because that sounds pretty much right on point, right? I mean, are you taking this out of Scripture, this definition? Maybe. Have you ever been around an encouraging person? I want you to think right now, we've all had someone encouraging in our lives, right? Someone that just, we ran into them, and every time we saw them, we're like, man, I tell you what, every time I run into him, I feel better about myself. Every time I run into him, he's got something positive to say. You know? And you're like, whoo! You know, you remember that person. Why is it when I said that, it's so easy for you to remember exactly who that person was? You can be that person too. You can be that person, right? Do you enjoy spending time with the encouraging person? Heck yeah, I'll sit at, if someone's encouraging me, I'll sit at their house till they kick me out. Right? I ain't leaving. You're going to bathe me in encouragement. Let's do this. Let's sit here for a while, because you don't see that in the world. How often do you see it? And what does the world encourage you to do? Everything you shouldn't. Which brings me up to my next point. What does encouragement look like in our evangelism? See, that's a hard one, right? Because there's a lot of ways it can look. I'm going to give you a few examples. But the examples I give might not be the examples you're thinking of. That doesn't mean that those are necessarily wrong. But I wanted to give you some ones that are easy to start with. So the first one is noting and reinforcing positive behaviors. We see someone emulating Christ-like character and they don't recognize it. Dude, that was really good. I saw how you helped her get into the car, and she was having and helped her with her walker. I saw you carry those groceries in. I know you were tired that day, and going over there was really hard. But I noticed that, and I thought that was really good. Proverbs 12:26 says, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." See, we're guiding our neighbors. See, maybe they're not ready. Maybe you're not ready for the fullness of a hard gospel evangelism, right? Maybe they're not ready for it. Have you ever come at somebody with some scripture and they're just like, they're just not ready for it, right? It's too heavy for them right now. And I'm not saying we don't do that. But what I'm saying is a lot of times Christ was very gentle. He spoke in parables, right? Could he have quoted directly Leviticus? Absolutely. Could he have quoted anything else? Absolutely. But he was gentle, right? And we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be gentle. Much like Christ is gentle, many times our first attempts at evangelism must be gentle. Like I said, we're easing into this. If this is something that's different to you, we ease into it. So if we're just recognizing someone doing something right, that's a good place to start, right? A lot of times we don't. What we do is we see someone doing something wrong, and the first thing is we do that, right? We say, that's messed up, you're doing that. You don't think people don't know what they're doing is messed up? You don't think that? You don't think, listen, I'm just going to put this out there, that people that are not Christians do have ethics, right? And they do have morals, right? So you're not speaking to ignorant people. And in fact, people who maybe proclaim themselves as atheists oftentimes know Scripture better than you do. So let's do something that succeeds. Let's not. And besides, getting in a scriptural argument, nobody wins that battle, just flat out. I mean, God wins it in the end. Don't get it twisted. But what I'm saying is your ability to evangelize to that person, how many people you think you're going to encounter? And how important is this person you're encountering now? Is your point to be right, or is your point to lead them to Christ? Because we can be right all day. We are right. We won. Guess what? We're on the victory train. We're going to heaven. We've already won it. We're just trying to get more people on board. And you know what? If you go to board a train, and the first thing they say is, you know, you're just not dressed right now. Well, I mean, like, yeah, this ain't my train. It could be encouraging Christ-like behaviors, or at least behaviors that are better than what you've seen from them typically. Maybe it's not the best example, but it's on the right track. So, noting and reinforcing positive behaviors. What's another way encouragement looks in our evangelism? Actively listening. Romans 14:19 says, "So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." Giving someone your full attention is a rare thing in this world. The act of sincerely listening can be profoundly encouraging to someone. Right? Active listening. So what's active listening look like? Does it look like this? Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. Ooh. What? Ooh. I mean, come on. I did this, right? It's hard. We get all sucked into our phones and stuff like that. I can't tell you, for the longest time, my wife and I'd be sitting on the couch together, and this still happens. I'm not perfect, but this still happens. Only one. Is that we're sitting on the couch, and it's like, hello, yeah, we're on the same couch, but we might as well be in totally different houses, because I am so enamored with what I'm reading on Reddit that I cannot figure out what she's doing or whatever. We need to actively listen, not just, and this again, my initial intent was to talk about evangelism, but this covers more than that, and I think encouragement's way bigger than just evangelism. This goes with our wives, this goes with our children, this goes with certainly our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be actively listening to everyone. So it's giving someone your full attention, okay? People aren't used to that. When people see that you're intently listening to them, they feel valued. You know, part of that discouragement is no one feels any value. They feel like I'm worthless. That all I'm good for is washing your clothes. Ooh. All I'm good for. No, she don't feel like it. Right? Okay. That's a whole other sermon. All I'm good for is this one thing in your life. And you can't give me a couple of moments' attention. You can't put your phone down. You can't put your toolbox down. Whatever it is that you got in your hands all the time, you can't put that down and look me in the eyes and be in this moment. You don't think a stranger's going to hear anything from you if you're like, listen, Jesus really saved my life, and he really, you know what? I'll send you a link. You know, how about we friend request? Or something like that. I'll send you a video. Just say it to them. You're right there. You know, active listening looks like, here's another example. If someone says something and you repeat back the last sentence, that shows that you were listening. And so that happened. So you feel that way. It's not hard. You don't have to be profound. Look, your personal evangelism, you don't have to be like this smooth, Charles Stanley or T.D. Jakes or whomever your favorite cup of tea is that away. You don't have to be that dude. You don't got to be Billy Graham. Oh, my. You don't got to be that. You just got to be you. You just got to listen. You know what? Sometimes in doing this, sometimes in this encouraging, it's not having a word, but it's saying, I'm sorry. I'm with you. I mourn with you as I rejoice with you. So that being said, it might be that we've established that Jesus has called us to evangelize, right? If we don't do it, who will? Don't forget those caring people who encourage you towards the loving arms of Jesus. Yes, evangelism does not always come naturally, but we'll have a great place to start by being an encourager. Don can't tie everybody's tie. I'm going to have to learn. That's my bad. That's what I'm going to work on. Not everybody can make pancakes. Not everybody can be the preacher, right? But we can do something. And I think encouragement is a great place to start. Maybe you're saying today, praise God, I am an encourager. You know, you're high five, Jesus, or whatever it is, the thing you do with the Lord, you know, thank you, Father. But we always have room to grow. So it's not an easy task, okay? Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I was at my neighbor's house across the street, Judy. Judy has a brain tumor, and she's on borrowed time now. They told her 2 months she had to live, and that was probably a month and a half ago. And I tell you what, I don't deal with death well. And in fact, there were many times where I never wouldn't even attend a funeral because it was too heavy for me. That when I would learn someone was about to die, the last thing I ever wanted to do was go into a hospital to visit them because I couldn't handle it. My heart just bled, just hurt for them. It was too much. But God's sent encouragers into my life, and I've seen how much it meant. So even though I sat with Judy, what do you have words for someone that's done? Praise God. She knows Jesus, okay? First of all, if you're dealing with anybody who's in that place, if they know Christ, really it's like, whew, you know, that's the big one. But you know that, what do you say to that? You're dying, you know? I'm not going to give her false hope. That's another thing. You're not obligated to say, like, Jesus is going to take this away. If the Lord hasn't put that on your heart, what do you don't have the authority to say that. Or I know it's going to be better. You don't know that. You don't know what it's going to turn out. But you know what I do know? Is I love you. And I'm sorry you feel that way. And what did I have to say to her? I said, I don't know. I don't understand it. But I know we can trust Him. And you know what? I have been mad at God before. But His grace and mercy, I've been mad. And I've talked to Him and been angry. And I've had to repent after the fact. But I've been there. I've felt lost. I've felt like Christ wasn't close to me. You're not alone. You do have the right to be sad. You do have the right to not feel good. But just as much, you have the right to feel joy. Just as much, you don't have to feel that way if you don't want to. You don't have to be anything that anybody wants to put on you. But if you feel it, you have just as much license to be joyful as you do to be sorrowful. And I'm going to be here for you either way. And if you're sad, I'm sad. But if you're happy, I'm happy. That's all you can say. You don't have to have some kind of words that are so prophetic or something like that. It's just that you're not alone, and I'm going to be here with you. And any of us can say that. You might find yourself saying now, how do I even do this? Encouragement is not natural to me. Maybe the start for you is to stop being discouraging. Maybe the start is to say, you know what, I don't think it's going to, you know, if you think about it, sometimes we do need to articulate, we do need to rebuke, we do need to correct, absolutely. But is this the right time right now? I mean, really, am I doing this for, what's my motive? Am I doing this to, again, to be right and to rub somebody's nose in something? Or am I doing this out of a spirit to hopefully alleviate it? And is this the right time? Will I have this opportunity again? You know, is this a situation where this person's going to die tomorrow because of this? Or is this a situation where God's carried them through? You know, if it's not the time, how about you just bite your tongue? How about if we're not saying it from the correct spirit, you can't take a word back. You can't take what you said back. People don't always remember what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. And if you made them feel bad in a time that they were already weak, people are not ignorant of their condition all the time. Maybe you need to bite your tongue. Maybe that's where you say, you know what? Maybe you're not an encourager today, but you can be. But how about for now, I just hold my tongue a little bit. Let God work it out. You might find yourself saying, I don't really know Jesus, but I need encouragement through what I am facing. You can turn your life over to Him right now at this altar. If you have found that, no, I know Jesus, but I've been estranged from Him. I haven't felt that closeness. I've been going through the motions. I know I get up on Sunday and I shave and I go to church and I go through the motion, and it just hasn't been something of passion. But I want encouragement. I can tell you right now, you're going to get it through encouraging others. You're not going to get it sitting in place. I know it seems hard. You know, in our Bible study today, our Sunday school, we were going over the 5,000 that Jesus fed with two fish and five loaves of bread. You know, the disciples walking with Christ, apostles walking with Christ, saw this, and they realized, number one, they didn't even have their own food. And what they had, they could all probably eat and got reasonably filled. But Jesus said, you feed them. They didn't think that they could do it, obviously, because they're like, you know, at first He's like, they're trying to send them away. They're like, Jesus, we better send all these people away so that they could go eat. And then, you know, Jesus says, let's feed them, right? And what happened? They said, you know, again, they were obedient. They were obedient, and they said, you know what, even though it doesn't look like I can do this, if Christ has commanded me to do it, I'm going to do it. And what happened at the end of it? They were all fed, and there were 12 baskets of fish pieces left. That's what my scripture had said. How many of them were there? There were 12. So, all of a sudden, Christ met the need of the people, but He also met the need of those that were serving Him. So it may feel as though you don't have it in you, but I tell you right now, you do. And not only that, your blessing is going to be found in it. I appreciate your time today. I pray that the Lord led you to a place to give you a starting point for your personal ministry, that you were encouraged, or that you know how to find your encouragement, or you know how to start with your encouragement. Because I know we all want to see fruit, and a lot of times we don't get to see it. But I think this is the quickest way to it. And I think this is a big element of godly character. And it's going to bless your life and everyone that you encounter. If you would, please bow your heads in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much again for this day. Lord, some of us hear this sermon, Lord, and we think, Lord, I need encouragement, Lord. I can't even encourage anybody else, Lord, because I need it right now. Father, I ask You to bless their heart, Father. Lord, that You would show them an immediate area of service, Father, and that, Lord, You would go before them and go with them, Lord, so that they can encourage that person, Lord, and then they can taste the fruit of that, Father. Lord, that they can also, Lord, be encouraged through that service, Father. Lord, that just as You brought them here to church today, Lord, You could send them out in the mission field, Father, Lord, that You would protect them in that way, Father. Lord, we ask that You would help us to grow closer to You, Father. Lord, that You would meet our needs, Lord, in every capacity. But Father, also, as You have desired to send us out, Lord, that even though we always feel lacking, we realize we were never capable, Lord, but it was Your Holy Spirit that did it all. Lord, help us to rely on You more and care less about how things look. Lord, there are other needs in this church today. Lord, I ask You to touch upon each one individually, Lord. Lord, that as we leave here, Lord, Your presence would just continue to go with us, Lord. Our homes would fill today, filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that even as though we might experience conviction in these times, Lord, Lord, that we would quickly repent that over to You, Father. And that, Lord, You would encourage us and give us the strength to encourage others. Lord, bless this church, Your church, in Jesus' name, amen.